The radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magotus. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. So he cleans it up so he can dwell there. And he says, uncleanness and lasciviousness, meaning that is filthiness, indecency, shamelessness. A chief characteristic of the behavior is open and shameless indecency. It means to be unrestrained in evil thoughts and behavior. Amen. Giving into brutish and lustful desires, readiness for any pleasure, no matter what. Oh, come on and say amen. Sound like many of the people today. Don't misbehave in secret, but they'll do it in the open. Amen. They don't care what anybody say. Their opinion, they don't care. They're outrageously, shamelessly evil. Come on and say amen. So he says that's lasciviousness. And anybody know any lascivious people? Amen. That I'm not ashamed. I do what I do in the open. Amen. Oh, yeah, who's that used to sing this song? Everything's out in the open. Remember that? It's all out there now. Don't care who see it. I'm going to do it, and I want you to see it, and don't care what you think about it. Oh, yeah, carnality, just gluttony, just full of it. Amen? We can think of some places that people do that. It got so bad. Look, and God will give them over to some of their foolishness, because in San Francisco, people used to be able to walk in the parks naked. Grown men, hand in hand, walking naked. And then a city councilman said, you know what? We have to draw the line somewhere. And he said, you know, he was gay. And guess what he said? He said, even though I am, I think that's just too indecent. Because we, you know, they want to adopt kids and things like that or whatever. And so they said, we think that's just too much. That's just going overboard. So let's try to do something about this. It even got on their nerves that it was so bad. Amen. And so you have places where people will just do anything. Amen. All right, let's go on a little further. Some places, I'm going to leave that alone. Right here in Louisiana. If we drive a few hours south, they got some things that go on certain streets. Amen. And wait until about a month from now. Amen. They're going to have revelers at Mardi Gras. Amen. Look at what it said. I'm gone. He says, the works of the flesh are manifest, and he gets down. He says, lasciviousness. He says, adultery. And when we look at adultery, we know what that is, but we don't think that we do it in this day. But people do it all the time. When they spend their time and money, you know, on things and on certain designers, come on. And they, you know, if you can give a designer more than you can give God, you are idol worshiper. Lord, help us today. If you can give your, if you can pay for a car and you have never, I'm just going to say it because all of us probably guilty at some point. If you can give $500 a month on a car and you can't give God $20 a month, you are an idol worshiper. You ain't got to say amen because it's right anyway. Amen. If we can give something to, if we give our treasure, our time, and our talent to something more than we can give to God, and I'm not saying just go give all your money to, you know, well, give your money to the church and give it to me. I'm not asking you to do that. What I'm saying is that if the Spirit of God spoke to you and say, today, I want you to help somebody who has, they have, their electricity is off and their rent is due, and together it's about $1,200, and you know you got the money and you want to help them, then you are idol worshiper. Help us anyway. Yep. Adultery. Then it says what? Witchcraft. Witchcraft, pharmakia. And it's related to the word where we get the word pharmaceuticals from. And what that means to us in this day is very important for us to pay attention to this one, because basically, let me read to you what it means. Sorcery, the use of drugs or of evil spirits to gain control over the lives of others or over one's own life. In the present context, it would include all forms of seeking the control of one's fate, including astrology, palm reading, seances, fortune telling, crystals, and other forms of witchcraft, spells, voodoo, hoodoo, and whodunit. Now, the thing about this that we need to really pay attention to that we don't see is that, just look, I want you to look at this small town that we call Natchitoches. We have more drug pharmacies, stand alone, they don't have to be they don't have to sell anything else. They can sell just drugs. I think we have about 8 or 9, and we don't even have that many people. We don't even have that many people in the city that we would need that many pharmacies. But there's a spirit that makes sure that people, I mean, if you go to the doctor and you say, you know, well, my, you know, somebody died and I had been a little sad and I was crying. That's normal. But they'll give you a drug for depression. Why? There's no need. I will grieve and then I will mourn healthily and then I will get over this, but I don't need a drug to get me by. I need the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? And so we need to pay attention to it. Amen. Not just the pharmacies, but if you go just about any corner on the west side of town, you can find a drug. Amen. Amen. You go to any employment, place of employment, you can find somebody who uses or sells it. Amen. So that spirit has run rampant. If we get into talking about that, Lord, help us, because the Bible says in Ephesians 6 that there are principalities, powers, even wickedness in high places. So in order for that to rule, that means somebody in a high place has allowed this principal spirit to rule over Natchitoches and be the, witchcraft is the main spirit here. It's controlling the lives of people. And guess what? It's so controlling that it has fooled the next generation. And let me tell you something, young people. You better watch out, because what is happening is that it has so bewitched you that you're going to sit there and your parents are working hard to prosper and you will fall into poverty because you've been bewitched and taken away by the things that they fed you. Why do you think they want to give you a pill? And then it's bad enough that the people who are taking drugs or pills and selling them to the children, it's bad enough. It's bad enough for them to want to get. And why do you think that they're legalizing marijuana in several states? Because that's the way to control people. Mississippi State University has been doing a study on the effects of marijuana use in the lives of African Americans for a long time, since I was a boy. And so guess what? Who was smoking the reefer most of the time? So they altered this. I wish I had time to talk to you about it, but I'm going to have to quit in a minute. They altered and genetically made a certain type of weed. Amen. So that it will deal with the person who make and what goes consistently with a person who uses the marijuana. They don't have no motivation. I'm not going to call them lazy. They're not motivated. And guess what else? They're not committed. So they're not going to be committed in a relationship. They're going to have babies and they're going to leave them. They're not going to go get a job because they're not motivated to go out and get it. Come on and say amen. But our young people are falling by the dozens and hundreds to go and use this because it is a starter drug. It gets you going until you get to the next drug, and the next drug gets you hooked.
Amen.
Amen. Why would a person not want to go to a job that will give you a drug test because you don't want to stop smoking? It's witchcraft. And we don't even know. What do witches use? They use roots from the ground. You put yourself back under the same curse of Adam because the Bible says that God, and I'm getting off subject. The Bible says that God told Adam, he cursed the ground. So first off, you living under the curse. And Adam had to work the ground. Basically what he did, he said, Adam, you can't get nothing from this ground unless you work hard to get it from the ground. And so actually the earth or the ground was almost put over Adam because Adam needed the ground in order to survive. And that's what happened. People think they need the drugs to survive. Let me go to the next one before I stay too long on that one. I'm trying to get to the spirit part. Don't look like I'm going to make it. Variance. Amen. Variance, that means strife and discord, contention, fighting, struggling, quarreling, dissension, wrangling. It means that a man fights against another person in order to get something, a position, a promotion, property, honor, recognition. He deceives doing whatever he has to do and to get done so that he can be before another person. Now that's variance, amen? We know that. We see it all the time. Emulation, that is jealousy, wanting and desiring to have what someone else has. It may be material things, recognition, honor, or position. We know that too, amen? Wrath, that means a person who, they're full of wrath. They always want to fight. I mean, every time you look around, you look at them, what you looking at? He looked at me funny. I'm finna see what his problem is. That's a person full of wrath. They always, and you know what? I'm going to say this, and it's funny because I know some people at a certain church that's how they used to do all the time. And I was a kid. I didn't want to be part of that church because everybody I was friends with that went to that church, that's what they wanted to do. What they looking at? They don't know what I do. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I'm Baptist. Y'all supposed to be holy. Amen. Strife, we don't need to strive against one another, have disagreements and one, just to, some people have strife just for the sake of it. You say, well, I think I like red. Well, I don't like red. I like blue. You know, that's just my opinion. I say I like red. You ain't got to be, argue because you want, just because you like blue. Well, okay, I like blue too. No, I don't like blue no more. I like gray. Just to be at strife with somebody. Seditions, meaning a division. I would give you the Greek words, but I don't know if it'll mean anything to you, but I'll give you the definition. Division, rebellion, standing against others, splitting off from others. You know how some people, I don't like to fool people. That's why I just come to church and I ease out the door. That's sedition. I'm breaking off from others. I don't want to. Why wouldn't we want to? The Bible says, get to know them that labor among you. Amen. That's what it says. Why wouldn't we want to be loving toward others? Why would we want to be an island? No man is an island. We need each other to survive. How do you know that you truly got the love of God if your love never is tested? You won't know. How do you know you have the faith of God if somebody didn't come to crucify you to see if you're going to stand in the gap and stay there and say, Lord, into thy hand I commend my spirit? You won't know. So that's why God put them around you so that they'll test you a little bit. Amen. But you can't take it personal. You got to know that it's all God's doing. Amen. All right. Y'all don't like that one. That's okay. Here, let's see, seditions, hearsays, and what that is, it is rejection of the fundamental beliefs of God, Christ, the scriptures, and the church, believing and holding to some teaching other than the truth. Amen. Matthew 15:9 says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine and commandments of men. And so sometimes people will try to mix a little bit of Christianity with all this spiritualism and all these other doctrines and all this other teaching. And he says that those things mean that you're walking the flesh, because just because you don't understand it completely doesn't mean that it's not right. Amen. We'll understand some things better by and by. We may not understand it right now. Come on and say amen. But because we don't understand it, we say it can't be true because I understand what he's saying. That don't mean anything. Amen. Let's go on a little further. He says, strife, seditions, hearsays, envyings. We know what envy is. You know, this word goes beyond jealousy. It is way beyond it. It is the spirit that that wants not only the things of another person, but it holds grudges for no reason, and wants not only the things to be taken away from the person, but wants him to suffer through the loss of them. You know how some people say, I hope they lose it. Why? You ain't going to find it. You can't have it. You just don't want them with it. I don't see why the Lord blessing them. He's not blessing you because you're envious. Amen. Murders. We know what that is. And you can't murder people. Just kill them or even murder their character, whatever. Look at this. Drunkenness. Being tipsy. That's the flesh. I'm the news reporter. This is what God said. Drunkenness. Getting out of your mind a little bit. Feeling good. I'm finna, you know, what they used to call it, getting what, blitz? What you used to call it? Yeah, blitz. Getting full, getting toe up. Getting toe up. He too happy, yeah. Well, it sound like the little flesh like that, huh, Sean? But those things, he said, that drunkenness, you know, and some people, you know, and I was listening to, and I'm not going to see you, you ever hear me say this, but I was listening to a couple of preachers. They were preaching, and that's, they can say that at their church, and I thought they were wrong. This one said it at another church, and then the other one got up, and he confirmed, that's what, yeah, it's okay. He said, you ain't nothing wrong with, you know, a little beer ain't going to never send nobody to hell. It's what you do after you get that in you. But then he says drunkenness. He says drunkenness is an act of the flesh. Amen. And who you, I mean, you know, and they go down the list of all the drinks. I don't know them because I don't use them. I don't drink. But they go down the list of drinks and Remy, VSOP. I remember him saying all this. And I'm like, you know, and people shouting. Talking about how you mix it. Talking about, what is it? 15-year-old, 20, what is 10-year-old something? Yeah, Charter. See? See them, seven, and you ain't going to heaven. But all of this, and they was just, yeah. I'm telling you, if they could, they'd have threw whatever they had to throw at them because they was shouting them down. I'm telling you. And all I'm saying is that that's not the gospel. But people were shouting off of it. People were rejoicing because of it. While he was talking about Jesus, they sat there closed. I mean, their mouth was shut so tight, you didn't know if they was breathing. And then as soon as he started talking about drinking, that's what I'm talking about, preacher. Because the flesh, they loved it. The flesh loved it. Didn't do nothing for their spirit. Amen, y'all. Let's go on. I can't talk about him too long. Look at it. Revelings. Amen. Revelings. Carousing, uncontrolled license, indulgence, and pleasure. Taking part in wild parties, drinking parties, lying around indulging in feeding the lust of the flesh. Orgies. Oh, come on and say amen. The believer has not been accepted by God because he, you know, deserves to be, but he's accepted by God because he's in Christ. And there's no way that you can be a reveler and be accepted in Christ, by Christ. Amen? So that's why I think it's hard for some people to keep saying that they're Christian and they are all of these things more than you see the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Now, they may say it, but it don't mean that they're telling the truth because they could be lying. Amen. And so when we talk about reveling, you know, we go to these big festivals and parties. Amen. And what do people do at them? They revel. Amen. They get an uncontrollable drinking. They get a license to do it. In other words, when it's this time of year, you have a license to do all of this that you want to do. Just don't do it when Lent. I ain't got nothing to, I mean, you know, I'm good with that. That's you, but not me. Amen. All right. Y'all gonna like me after this is over. Amen. I'm trying to cut some of this and get to the Spirit. Amen. Jesus, the Bible says, Paul says in verse number 21, it says, and such like, if of those which I tell you before, as I've always told you before in times past, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's no way possible if you manifest the flesh continually. Manifest the flesh. Now, we all are work in progress. Amen. But if all I ever see is the manifestation of the flesh, then there's no way possible that you can inherit the kingdom of God. The only way you can get to the kingdom is by the King's Son. And the King's Son has no part in that. Amen, y'all. Amen. I'm trying to go a little further. I look like I'm not going to make it. But he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. And I believe I might be able to stop somewhere in here. But the fruit of the Spirit. Look at this. People who are led of the flesh, he talked about that. And the reason why he didn't just talk about this person that's led of the soul, because the soul will go either way. Jump on, you know how it is. You got that person who will jump on whoever that look like they the baddest. Yeah, I'm on his team. That's what the soul do. I'm on his team because he want to be a winner. Y'all don't get that. Your soul wants to win. Amen. And whoever, you know, the flesh is going to be a winner in the earth if, you know, if you live by the flesh. There people are like you. Oh, yeah, you live by, look, that's my boy there, you know. They'll know you by that. But then if you want to be a winner in the Spirit, amen, and inherit the kingdom of God, the soul will go with you, amen, amen, to carry it out. But he says that the fruit, F-R-U-I-T, not S. And I don't believe they made a mistake, as some say, that, you know, they just forgot to put the S. No. He said the fruit of the Spirit. Because when we look at what the Spirit does, Romans 5:5 says that, that we have the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit which is given unto us. What does the Spirit bring to your life? The Spirit brings love. Amen. Because first thing that happens is that you realize the love that God has for you. Amen. Then you realize that I gotta love him back because he's been just that good to me. That's what the Spirit brings, and he reveals it and he sheds it abroad. In other words, he profusely puts love in your heart, and then all of a sudden you don't hate the person that hated you when you were walking in the flesh. Now you're saying, Lord, please save them, because they don't know what they're gonna go to hell if somebody don't tell them about the word of God. Amen. And so he says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. But love has some things to go along with it. Basically, some traits. When you have love, you can have joy. That is an inner gladness, a deep-seated pleasure. It is the depth of assurance and confidence that ignites the cheerful heart. Amen. It is the cheerful heart that leads to a cheerful behavior. So a person who walks after the flesh, if your flesh is not feeling good, you are, speak to them in the morning and see, I had my coffee, don't you speak to me. As soon as their flesh is okay, how you doing? Seriously. And we can't be people that let the flesh carry us around like that and mess us up. Come on and say amen. Say amen or ouch, any one of them. Amen. So we can't be like that, amen. Well, even if the flesh don't feel good, we just, you know, we need to have, and we need to have the Spirit of God in us will cause us to have some joy. Amen. It ignites. It lights us up and we have joy. You ever seen a person who was maybe sick on their deathbed and they still were smiling? And you say, oh, they died. And you say, oh, they look like they went in peace. They went in joy because they had the Spirit of God on the inside of them. And it didn't allow them to let you see that they were so much in the suffering, but it allowed you to see that God had his hand on them and that he took them on home. Come on and say amen here. Not only is it that love has a trait of joy, a character of joy, but love brings peace. The word Irene is peace. It means to bind together. Love will cause us to want to bind together, be woven together with God. Amen? It binds and joins together the person with God. And so if you have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God gives you peace. Now, first, when he says joy, think about what he said. He said that I'll give you my joy so that your joy might remain and that your joy might be what? Full. And so God wants you to have joy so that you will be overjoyed. The Bible says that when Mary got the news that she was going to be impregnated with the Word of God, Jesus Christ, she had joy. Then when Mary went to Elizabeth's house and all of a sudden she called out Elizabeth. Elizabeth said that when the baby heard your voice, he leaped in my womb. Why? Because he had joy. Because of the Spirit of God. Amen? And peace. He said, I give you peace. He said, I don't give you peace as the world give it, but I give you my peace. A peace that surpasses what? All understanding. To keep our hearts in mind. The word peace in the Hebrew is the word shalom. It means to be free from trouble. And much more. It means to experience the highest good, enjoying the very best possible, possessing all the inner good. It means the wholeness and soundness. It means prosperity in the wildest sense. It's especially prosperity in the spiritual sense of having a soul that blossoms and flourish. Do you have a soul that blossoms? A soul that flourishes, even in the event that you may have some tribulation or some trials, your soul flourishes through them all. You come out a winner. You come out victorious. You don't let it get you down to the point that you want to walk in the flesh. I don't want to walk in the flesh. I want to overcome this flesh. And so while I'm going through, my soul begins to flourish. I begin to blossom. You know what it means to blossom. At first, you see a flower that has a bud. But then later on, it opens up and you see the beauty of it. And so what it means to have peace is that when I'm going through trials, I blossom. My soul looks good. My emotions don't get the best of me. My flesh don't get the best of me, but I blossom. And you see the beauty of God on the inside of me, even while I'm going through. Anybody want that? Long suffering. Amen. He says peace, joy, peace, and long suffering means to have patience. It means bearing and suffering for a long time, but being able to persevere, being constant and steadfast, enduring whatever comes your way. Being a long sufferer, it means that you never give up and you never give in. You're never broken down. No matter how bad the attack is, I'm going to stand anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. Gentleness. Amen. Gentleness is being kind and good, useful and helpful, gentle, sweet, considerate, gracious through all situations, no matter what the circumstance, you handle it in a gentle way. I'm not rough. I'm not going to huff and puff and blow your house down, but I'm going to be what? Gentle. Amen. I'm going to be gentle with how I talk to you. I'm going to be gentle on how I handle you, even if my day bad. You know, sometimes people will call me and I'll be like, oh my goodness. At work, I'm just saying at work. Amen. They'll call me and I'll be like, oh, I just did this and I just gave you the answer and I just showed you this. I just did